Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com. You know, people often ask me, Paul, how can we support you and the show? And I tell them the best way for you to help our podcast is to subscribe to us. Wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe. It's especially helpful if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe there and write a review for us. Those things really help put us up on the charts, and then that lets us get more advertisers, keeps the show free. That's the way the whole ecosystem works. So if you're subscribing to us, great. Also, we'll let you know whenever we have a new episode or a bonus episode, so you'll never miss anything. Or if you like an episode, you can share it on Facebook or Twitter. Just tell a friend about it, or even like steal your friend's phone and then write a review from their account. We don't care. We're not picky. And this is what I also like to recommend. If you like this show, it's a part of a sensibility that's kind of brought to you by this bigger network called Earwolf. And if you follow Earwolf on Twitter or on Facebook, you'll get exclusive content like pictures and sound clips and all sorts of cool stuff. Plus, you'll find out about shows that you may like. If you like our show, you may like another show. I'm not saying you're gonna, but you may, and that actually helps us too. So subscribe, share, or follow, and that is how you will help the show. So subscribe, share, or follow, and thank you for listening. Hey everybody, today's episode of How Did This Get Made is brought to you by Sorry to Bother You, a fresh, bold voice in American cinema. I don't know if you know about this movie, but it looks fucking bananas. My friend Amy Nicholson from the Unspooled podcast says it's one of the best films of 2018. It has Lakeith Stanfield in it, Terry Crews, Kate Berlant. It's an insane cast. I'm forgetting them because they're not all listed here on the little piece of paper I'm reading from you about. Tessa Thompson's in it. She's great. Armie Hammer. They're great. It's like Spike Lee met Spike Jones. I don't know. How's that for a slogan? Anyway, it's in theaters July 6th and everywhere July 13th. I want to go see it. Go see it with me. I don't know how, but let's pretend we're in the same theater together. Go see Sorry to Bother You, coming July 6th and everywhere July 13th.
Tonight's show is dedicated to the brave men and women who fearlessly applied Vaseline to Burt Reynolds' entire body. You are true heroes, and you will not be forgotten. We saw striptease, so you know what that means.
Remix. How did Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly? Rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly. Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Ran the games of Street Fighter, helped to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive. They call it in the badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of Chicago! We are so excited to be in one of the best cities in the country. An audience that doesn't get tricked by just applause gimmicks. We're to talk about a movie that, wow, little problematic. remembered it very differently. I apologize to anyone who watched this on an airplane like I did, or a train. I finished this movie in a gym. Did not a cool thing. A lot of questions by the people on the treadmills next to me. But there is so much to talk about, and we're going to talk about it all. And tonight, I'll do that with two of my co-hosts. But the first one being Jason Manzoukas!
What's up, jerks? we doing, Chicago? Holy cow. I'm not going to lie. I've been in this town 48 hours. I've eaten 48 pounds of meat.
They make you eat meat as you get off the plane.
Yes. I went to Stumptown. I had a meat coffee. This city loves meat. This city,
will.
You know what this city hates? Vegetables. Unless they're pickled to go next to your meats, you fucking monsters.
Oh. I don't eat meat, but when I come to Chicago, I become a meat monster.
Yes.
I've eaten more meat in a year than I've eaten.
I've been in an active meat sweat for like, I don't know, 30 hours. This is dangerous. My cholesterol is very high.
If we did three nights of shows, the two of us would have heart attacks.
Yes, I'm not even kidding. This town is for real.
Here to talk about the movie is my other co-host. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. Welcome, June.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I am great. I'm very excited to talk to you both about this movie, Striptease. Lots of stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with the title.
Yes.
Striptease.
Yes. So that is different than, like, stripping, because
yes.
A tease would be, like, almost more of a burlesque. It would be like, we're teasing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think of, like gypsy.
Bar.
Yeah, like Gypsy Rose Lee. Like, just, like,
Gypsy
a
Rose Lee? You think it's like Gypsy Rose Lee?
I think of, like, Natalie Wood at the end of Gypsy Rose Lee.
Mm-hmm. That's like, what I'm thinking
dance.
Of, too, when I hear striptease.
Does a whole dance, and at the very end, like, there's like, a, you know,
a bra strap?
Yes, and then curtains. That's not what this was.
No.
Well,
I will say,
this
though,
is, I will say there is a bra strap and there are curtains, but it is a very different
very
movie.
Very different movie.
I will say we are going to talk a little bit about the dancers in the movie. I was very impressed with the level of commitment to their different characters. Like, there's that one woman who dressed like a cat,
yes.
Like, and did almost like a salute to, like, the Cats musical. Like, she was fully committed to the character of the
there
cat.
There was...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, one of the storylines, question mark, in the film, question mark, is that there's another strip club that
yes.
has more gimmicks. Gotta
yes.
get a gimmick.
Not the Eager Beaver.
Right, not
but
the
in fact,
Eager Beaver.
It, yes.
So, but
it was called Flesh Farm,
yes.
which is a disgusting
and
name.
It is somehow the classier establishment.
It made me go, ooh. Like,
yeah. It connotes like violence and poultry.
Yes.
Oh,
and just
and somehow a transaction happening.
Yeah.
Like, we've been growing them. Oh, we're gonna sell them now.
It felt like to me. Like the killer in Silence of the Lamb goes to a flesh farm
yes.
to complete his human flesh suit.
Yes.
You
yeah.
know?
I wouldn't be surprised. The Eager Beaver, it seems like there's a progression, like the Eager Beaver, flesh farm, then like the slaughterhouse. Or something like that seems to be where they would be going.
So, but what was interesting is, so the flesh farm is doing a lot more gimmicks there. You know, they have a dancer with a live snake and she's doing some incredible work with that snake. It was unbelievable to me.
I will say this.
I don't want to pull you off your point. I just want to ask, my impression of the flesh farm was that they all danced with an animal of some kind.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I don't know. I'm
oh,
just
wait,
saying that
is
that's
that the
what,
farm?
Well,
is
that's,
oh.
what I, that's what I thought.
Whoa, wait a minute.
So there might
wait
be
a minute,
one.
Wait a minute. Hang on.
Yeah.
Is it called the Flesh Farm because there's animals in every act?
That's how I interpreted it.
Wait, did everybody get that? No, no?
I thought there would be like a girl with a chicken. I thought there would be like other animals. There. Oh, that was my impression.
I would go to that strip club. Like, at first I was like, oh, I'm 100% an Eager Beaver guy. No way, Flesh Farm. But now that that's the reality, and I have a very high likelihood of seeing both boobs and someone get mauled by an animal that is trying to escape, and I am rooting, by the way, for the animal to escape. I'm rooting for that snake, guys. Monty Python, come on.
But yes, I didn't mean to cut you off, Jim.
No, well, back to our dancers at the Eager Beaver. So I did feel a bit resentful that the owner of the Eager Beaver was feeling so threatened by the competition at Flesh Farm and all their gimmicks and elaborate stunts they do there, because I felt the ladies at the Eager Beaver each had distinct characters.
Yes.
One was a baby.
Yes. June, I don't want to jump in. I don't want to try and mansplain this for you. But I think technically she's a sexy baby.
She's a sexy baby.
I don't think she's a baby as much as she's a sexy baby.
Sexy baby.
Like Goo Goo Gaga, Daddy Change My Diapy Baby.
Yeah.
There's a subtle difference.
But important to make.
Yes.
And then there was, of course, the cat. Yes. And then the Israeli?
Yes.
Her name was...
Yes.
Her name was Gaza Strip.
Yes, Gaza Strip.
That was her
yes.
dancer name, Gaza Strip.
That's true. That is true.
That is a true thing.
And then there's also the woman whose boobs look to be mid-explosion.
Yes. She is an actual dancer. Her name is Pandora Peaks. And she was playing the character Urbana Sprawl. Which is
Urban Sprawl?
Wait, Urbana Sprawl.
Urbana Sprawl. So she's basically somehow a joke about Urban Sprawl? What is that? I get Monty Python being worked in there, but why call her Urbana Sprawl? Oh, this city's getting out of control.
I mean, listen, I believe every woman should be able to do whatever she wants with her body. Of course.
But
when I saw those breast implants, I'm assuming they're not real.
No,
you know what?
I will say
that they are, yes.
Paul.
No.
You know what?
Because we've had this fight a number of times where Paul cannot spot fake breasts.
What?
Cannot.
Oh, I would argue it is my greatest skill.
I mean, and I question it. It's like can't or won't.
Why was her God-given name Pandora Peaks if they're not fully real?
Wait, are you saying, did you just say Pandora Pizza?
Peaks.
Peaks.
Pandora Peaks.
Okay, I thought you just said Pandora Pizza, and I almost lost my mind. If there was a porn star named Pandora Pizza, I would watch that every night.
Pandora Pizza is my small little shop I opened in the Avatar world. We make a quality pizza for humans or
Navi.
Navi. It's no big deal. We have a Navi menu. We have an Earthling menu. We keep the peace.
What I'm going to say about her breast, though...
She's also patriotic and rides a motorcycle.
Absolutely. And so, but that's her gimmick, right? It's
yes.
just those breasts. But I do question the medical community because those breasts happened. They happened.
Oh, yeah.
And someone signed off on them.
No. I'm serious. I felt like it seemed dangerous.
Absolutely. It seemed like she has to have a back condition.
I don't know.
Well, I have a question about... And I don't know if we're experts, but I will ask this. If you are having a breast implant that big, are you saying that the implant itself must be beach ball size? Is that what we're assuming, that there's a beach ball size thing inside there?
Yes,
and,
Paul.
Yes, Paul. I know it's incredibly hard for you to believe.
I think that's exactly what
that's
we're saying.
That's exactly it.
It seems so crazy to me, like that they would even have that option.
Are you
like,
just considering this right now?
I think that when I would see someone like that, I'm like, oh yeah, they got breast implants. But now, like, thinking about the reality of it and going like, wow, like someone manufactured that
Oh, so you're curious about the manufacturer. You're interested how this works on a manufacturing level.
Yeah.
Got it.
Like, I'm like, are they going, all right, well, we're selling a lot of these, but like, is it like in a big and tall man department of the factory? Like, because it's like, we're not making a lot, but we'll sell like two a year. It's like a car dealership that has like two Mercedes. It's like, we'll make a lot on those, but we're not going to sell, we'll sell the Toyotas mainly.
So you're saying what's on her chest is the two Mercedes?
I just think it's a big. Well,
I don't think it's priced by the size. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think, I actually don't know, but I don't think like the bigger ones are more expensive necessarily.
I don't think that's how it's done. How big do you want to go? And keep in mind, the bigger the bigger the bucks. Oh, don't you worry. You want those big giant jugs? Get ready. It's going to be big dollars.
I was going off the turkey model at the supermarket.
Wait. So to you, checking out turkeys at the supermarket is like touching boobs? I just would like to be like, to run into you at the market and you're just like,
It's like if you pick up, buy a bigger thing, it's more expensive. I don't know. Anyway, I just want to let everyone know I run a very reputable plastic surgery practice. And yeah, I may ask questions, but you know what? We do it, and it's on the up and up. It's totally cool.
I agree with you, Paul. When I see a girl with big boobs, my first impression is, how much do those weigh? And what's the price per pound? And can I get a Greek salad with it? And half a pound of prosciutto, please. Meats! Those meat jokes are for you, Chicago!
But yes, June, I've derailed your point about Pandora.
No, that was it. It was just that, you know, I do think at the Eager Beaver, everybody had a pretty distinct personality, and they should have just trusted that.
And they were very, I will say this, what I appreciated about the Eager Beaver was that they were open to different kinds of expression. Every time Demi Moore dances, it's a different act to a different ballad.
Well, to a different Annie Lennox song. It's always
Annie
Lennox. Pretty much only
Annie
Lennox.
Which, by the way, I liked that, like, the patriotic woman does her thing. Each one was very different, which I was like, oh. And by the way, for those of you who think that you're going to get us in the Q&A, I know that Penny from Showgirls was also in this movie, too. So for those of you who reference that, we don't have to. We get it.
I will say, too, that the Prince song and Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics, Annie Lennox was, so it's not even just Annie Lennox solo. She's going into other Annie Lennox out and about.
Which I loved that. I loved that she had her, that she was basically just doing ballads and using it as a method of self-expression that was like sad to basically tell sad stories. I was like, I love that the Eager Beaver is allowing this expression Cat Lady.
Yes. The Eager Beaver, if nothing else, is a safe creative space.
Yes.
You can fail there. You can be wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the sequel to this movie, I believe, was the Catwoman's performance goes to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and gets a short order on the BBC.
I was genuinely disappointed that we did not get to see the full Catwoman number.
Agree.
Because when she came out and got, you know, Cat.
Yes. Yeah.
Got cat.
Got perched. I was really looking forward to that.
Agree. And when I was like, well, now I've gotten the uncut version, so the extras must be each person's full dance.
Nope.
No.
As a matter of fact, for those of you who watched the director's cut versus the regular cut, I went and did a little compare and contrast online about what was added. And what was taken out for like the theatrical cut, but was added in for the director's cut, was just a line, like lines that like the owner of the strip club says to Ving Rhames. Like, you'd be like, oh, that's That's the exclusive cut. More of that story. So,
the guy that said nothing gets him hard anymore except when he went to SeaWorld?
Yes.
There's more of that storyline? Oh, good. That's what I watched? Okay, good. I need to hear more of... And then there's a scene in SeaWorld.
Well,
and I was like, oh, are we going to catch a glimpse of this guy, like, straight up jerking off in the background while Rumor Willis gives a fish a fish?
Technically, it was called Splash of the Ocean, a terrible name for a sea place.
But a great name for a porno. Starring, it's the next Ocean's movie. We had Ocean's 11, now Ocean's 8. A Splash of the Ocean is the next one. It's a full squirting movie. For the lost Ocean sibling.
Going back to the Eager Beaver Club, I thought the dances were artistic. I thought the DJ was out of place. The DJ felt to me like Sam Levine's character from the Wet Hot American Summer movies. Grown up, like I was like, oh, this is where he's elevated to. He's up there like, hey, everybody, what's going on? And he's not even doing it sleazy. Like, he seems psyched. Like, yep. He's like, this
Super
is awesome. Check it out. Cats on stage. Like, not over it. Not even sleazy. Just happy to be there.
Yeah. He was having a great time. I think he was, like, psyched to be doing the movie as well. And that might have informed a little bit of what was going on.
I have a lot
to talk about.
Well, I was going to say, well, there was one, from a directing standpoint, there is one thing that I did not like about this movie was this thing, and I wrote it down. It's like, the camera moves so aggressively at people, it's like a close talker. It's like, you'll be like, sitting in normal scene, like, whoop, zooming right into a face, like, oh. Like, and they do that in the opening, they do that a handful of times. You're getting like, it's like the cameraman got out of control. Like, whoa, stop. Like, stop right here. Like, skidding on the face. Stop on the face. No one noticed that anyway?
I didn't notice that.
I believe you, though.
I did notice Demi's ex-husband's sister wearing a... First, I thought it was a bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
By the way, that performance she gave, whoever Rita? That sister was. Who's that actress?
Go ahead.
Does anybody know?
I have her name here.
Thank you.
She's amazing.
Yeah. I would have watched a movie about her and her security guard husband.
I was blown away by that performance.
Yeah.
Was it a catcher's vest?
Yes. Okay. It was, because
and did we ever learn why?
Well, yes, because she's training wolves.
Yes.
I didn't hear that.
They do one of those things where they set it up and they pay it off. About an hour later. So it makes sense.
So every Friday, keep in mind, every Friday, Rumor Willis is dropped off at
That's
her...
Rumor?
Yeah, yes. Right?
That's Rumor.
Yeah, Rumor.
Oh, I thought it was
For a minute, Shalila. I was like, maybe no. I've got the wrong one, but no, it was Rumor. It gets dropped off at her aunt's house where her aunt is actively training wolves.
Which...
And Demi Moore cannot get custody.
I mean...
It's wild.
The opening scene of this, you are like, in what world would this even be considered?
Also, by the way, I'm also perhaps more interested in a Paper Moon style movie with Terminator 2 and Robert Patrick and Rumor Willis going around stealing wheelchairs. Like, that's a Sundance movie if ever I saw one. Like, he can't get it together. He's using his daughter to steal wheelchairs. And that's the deal, you know? I would see that movie.
What I liked about that character, the husband, was he really played it in the middle of the road. You didn't know if he was a good guy or a bad
Always
guy. Really, real subtle.
So just so I understand, because they said it a few times. It was like, it was unbelievable every single time, though. This judge listened... to her testify that her husband was
an informant
for the FBI,
yes,
and also a criminal,
yes,
and she lost custody because
she lost her job working for the
FBI because of him,
but because she had no job and he was a great football player in high school, the judge gave her one of the harshest sentences
of
all time.
Like that.
This movie came out in 1996, and he said, you can see her for 2 hours every 2 weeks and on Christmas Eve and then on Easter.
Yeah.
Like, that was the plan.
Very arbitrary.
And part of it was because he was an informant
for the Vice
for
Squad.
For the Vice Squad.
I mean,
okay,
I do have
so
that
they
scene.
Felt
and
they
that
owed
they
him
had
something.
They had that they had pressured the judge, I think, to be lenient on him and punitive towards her.
I mean, if you want to just hear him rattle it off.
Judge Finger Hut?
Oh, look. Finger Hut.
Like, straight out of the box, I'm like, okay, here we go.
I may make visitation to your daughter every other week and on Christmas Eve. And, of course, on Easter Sunday when you're wearing your pretty little Easter
outfit. Of course.
Honor, my ex-husband is addicted to pills, and he's a thief. Because of his arrest record, I just lost my job as a secretary for the FBI.
He was the finest high school tailback I ever saw. Of course, he's had his run-ins with the law, but he's made his accommodations with the authorities.
Your Honor, being an informer for the Dade County Vice Squad hardly qualifies him to raise a 7-year-old child.
Neither does being a mother without a job.
But I lost it because of him.
The lady, my decision is final.
Boom. That's it. That's the close-up. He just beat in. Just bet in. That was a little bit of that classic ramp into the face.
And is there no court-appointed lawyer for her?
Also, yeah. I point out that Robert Patrick is sitting in the spot that the lawyer normally sits in. He's on the outside edge of the table.
Yeah,
which means the lawyer would have to go.
Why does she appear to be representing herself?
And why is she testifying? She's at a stand.
People. This is why I am a big fan of SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe is ready for anything that gets thrown at it, okay? If a storm takes out your power, SimpliSafe is ready. If an intruder cuts your phone line, SimpliSafe is ready. If they destroy your keypad or siren, SimpliSafe will get you the help you need. And this is what I love, all right? Maybe it's overkill. Maybe you don't need to be ready for the worst possible scenario at all times. But SimpliSafe is always ready just in case. And that is what makes it great. Now, SimpliSafe could cost an arm and a leg because it's always there. It's always working. It's never a day off. But it could, but it doesn't, okay? And that's because they are good people. They charge you what's fair, and that is $14.99 a month. Boom, you hear me? $14.99 a month. Boom, hear it one more time. $14.99 a month to have someone ready to go. Not it's a person, it's SimpliSafe. They're going to be there all the time, ready to go, to take care of you. No contracts, no hidden fees. And I recommend SimpliSafe to everyone I know, even people who don't ask for it. And they go, "Why? Who are you talking to me?" I go, "SimpliSafe," and I run. So anyway, you got to check it out. Go to SimpliSafe.com/bonkers at SimpliSafe.com/bonkers, B-O-N-K-E-R-S.
That judge...
Finger on?
Yeah. I guess my
I only say that because he's a judge. And we should give him the respect by saying his name.
L.W. Finger Hut. My question is, and I felt this throughout the whole movie, why would Robert Patrick want the daughter, like, full time? It seems like he's not a guy who really would like responsibilities.
Agree. I feel like he would want the opposite. I think he's just doing it as a fuck you to Demi Moore, and I bet he gets money as a result of being the full-time or something. Like, I bet there's some, because he's such a sleazebag, I'm sure there's something in it. I don't think he's doing it out of the goodness of his heart.
I mean, what did she see in him?
That's what I wrote. Yeah, I wrote that. Why did she marry this guy?
This is, by the way, there are a couple things we need to address in terms of the problems with the movie. But
wait, there's problems in this movie?
There's a few things I took issue with, but at a certain point, what's the actor's name again who plays
Robert Patrick?
Who plays the FBI agent?
Armand Asante.
Armand Asante, of course.
Lieutenant Al Garcia.
So what I am resisting is the implication that this is all her fault. And because at one point he says to her, she's sort of in shame over her work, which again, we can get into the problems around that, but she is very embarrassed that her daughter saw her stripping, and he says, the only mistake you made is to marry that guy. There is not a single time in this movie is any man implicated for any of their actions. Because it's kind of unbelievable. he doesn't even point the finger at this horrible man who's her ex-husband and the father of her child. The person who did something wrong was her for marrying him. It's insane.
She really fucked up. Yeah, she really...
Did a terrible job.
If she had
job.
Better taste in men, she'd probably still be at the FBI.
It's maddening.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, she really is an island in this movie. She is surrounded by incompetent people. And I'll get into Shad, Ving Rhames' character, who seemingly is never working the bouncer position
at
this strip club.
Never there when you need him.
He is backstage reading the Wall Street Journal when a major fight breaks out. He is escorting her to a private boat in the middle of the night, assume that the Eager Beaver is open.
How does he think that yogurt thing's gonna work? I will say this. The greatest mark against his intelligence is that he thinks that yogurt thing's gonna work.
Well, I mean, he's a real he contradicts himself a lot. First of all, he's reading the Wall Street Journal, and then later on in the movie they go, "Do you follow politics?" He goes, "Do I look like I follow politics?" You're reading the Wall Street Journal. All right, sure. And then this setup that he has here also seems grossly elaborate just to put a roach in yogurt.
You don't need the vice.
He has a vice holding a cup of yogurt.
Set it down on the table.
He has a full table of tools.
Yeah,
there's a soldering iron right here.
Oh, need it. Just place it. Just put it down.
Just to put a roach in yogurt.
And his plan, and let's listen to him lay out his plan.
So this is the new brainstorm, huh?
According to the Wall Street Journal, we got here the hottest selling yogurt in the country. I bring this in, say my hair fell out from the shock. Boom, they pay off big time. Lawyer thinks it's a genius idea.
Your lawyer has an office over a video store.
Call me a dreamer. I don't want to be a bouncer forever.
I like that attitude, but I'm also like, if you know from the Wall Street Journal that's the biggest selling yogurt, invest in that yogurt.
There just seems to be so many problems with the plan. A being, if there's any pictures of him any time before this movie, his hair would not be there.
Yeah.
I feel like in some ways he's just been trying to figure out an explanation for his hair not being there. Like, it's always been a long road back.
Yeah.
To that explanation.
Speaking of which, you can hear it in the clip, but there's a monkey in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
A monkey that...
Oh, so that's right. All the strip clubs have animals.
Well, I feel like this monkey was belonging to him, similarly to LL Cool J's parrot in Deep Blue Sea, but at least LL Cool J acknowledges that there's a parrot on his shoulder. Ving Rhames does not acknowledge this monkey. They're in some sort of relationship where the monkey is like, "I'm here," and he's like,
I like to think they had a falling out day one. And he was like, "Fine, if it's going to jump on me, but I'm going to tell you right now, I will not acknowledge its presence."
Something I think did happen because he's in several other scenes without the monkey.
Sure.
Which leaves one questioning, like, where is the monkey?
Yeah.
Is that monkey okay?
Are any of those scenes in the extras? Like, while they're off at the boat stripping, is the monkey off
where
doing something?
The monkey falls into that trope of film where the monkey just does reaction shots. Ooh. Like, we don't need, like, we get it. Like, the monkey is cueing the audience like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't...
Now, there is a point, in this scene we just saw, Demi Moore tips him, or tries to tip him, for breaking up...
A fight
with a bachelor who looks like he's 55 years old.
Well, why? You're saying just because he's older, he shouldn't be getting married?
I mean, after 40, like, if you're married, forget about it.
Wait, how
forget
old?
About it, 40. Like, if
after 40?
If it hasn't happened then, it ain't gonna happen. It was just interesting
no,
to
I
have,
get it.
Like,
it's
a
gross.
Bachelor party roll in.
I get it, it's gross.
And to see this groom? Question mark? looks so much older. It just, it,
but by the
it was
way,
hard to suspend my disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought maybe it was his second marriage. So that's how I was able to like continue watching. But I definitely questioned it.
I was acting.
But Ving Rhames in that scene, when that bachelor gets on stage and assaults, there's no other way to put it, Demi Moore. Ving Rhames is backstage reading the Wall Street Journal.
Reading about yogurt.
Yeah. Later on in this scene, and he does eventually, because she's screaming,
but after
come out.
Burt Reynolds has already come and clocked the guy.
Yeah. It's been photographed. A lot has gone on. She then goes to tip him in this scene. For what?
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
Nothing.
You would be better
I don't
to
remember.
Burt Reynolds.
Did she say something? I don't remember. Did she
in
say something?
In this scene we just saw, she says, I want to give you something for...
Yeah, getting in there.
Yeah, getting in there and protecting me?
Hmm. Well, I don't know.
I think the problem I have this is that he is treated as though he is a hero in this movie, and he is not. He is not. He does not simply do his job to protect these women.
Not at one bit.
No, and he
in
also...
In this scene, no, but I do think in other scenes he steps up.
I disagree. There's a scene, this scene, we cut out before it, but another dancer comes over, and I'm using the language that it seems from the movie they prefer, dancer. She comes over to try to investigate what's going on with that cockroach, and he hits her. And says, basically, get the fuck out of here. Did we watch the same movie? This is a terrible man, and he is only there to protect Aaron. He doesn't give a fuck about the rest of them.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I will tell you this. I said to June, I was like, well, Ving, I had said, like, oh, yeah, well, Ving Rhames is great. She's like, no, he's not. And then she showed me all the scenes. Like, oh, yeah, I guess not. I don't know why my brain was
thinking. Yeah, I am taking those moments where he says things like, don't go there without me, or he's looking out after her, or he tracks her down to make sure she's okay, to be him in his intentions that he is going to take care of her.
Listen,
I don't think
he
is.
This is going to open up a can of worms, because the only reason that she is considered a stripper who we care about is because she's a mother. The rest of them are, in the world of this movie, dumb and I guess not worthy of his protection. That's troubling to me. He treats the rest of them quite differently. And if you go scene by scene to watch his character, which I did, you'll find that, especially because the movie ends with him really, and he's just, all he cares about is protecting her purity as a mother. And I reject that. And by the way, the movie posits a world, it completely upholds a very disturbing view of women, which is they are either mothers or they're whores. And we're both, you guys. Duh!
That's a new t-shirt. There. Oh. Speaking of someone who's both, Armand Asante.
Oh, yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, I think it's a weird movie. These are these movies that came out in this time where I think Striptease came out. There's a lot of, like, I think it's like...
This is Striptease.
Oh, sorry.
Showgirls.
Yeah, sorry. I think there was, like, this fascination of, like, ooh, what can we show? And, you know, but I think the only way you could get into this world is by showing someone that you would, is a mother. She doesn't belong there, and that's why she's a lead character, yeah.
Of course, yeah. And she's entering the world because she has no other choices, which is, of course, true for many women who do, and not true for all women who are dancers and strippers. And I will say, the distinction they force us to make over and over in this movie about strippers, dancers not being sex workers and not having sex with their customers is also troubling, because it requires us to shame sex workers and criminalize them, which I don't believe we should be doing, and believe in the end of criminalization of sex workers, but I guess that's another podcast. But by the way, and I understand what we're watching and yada yada, blah, blah, blah. I know it's a big, stupid movie, but I also think this movie is an incredibly dangerous film. I really do, because it's a very dangerous movie for everyone to see, because it really is. And that's, I mean, like, the treatment of animals, let's just, like, put over there. From that monkey to that snake to the dolphins at SeaWorld, like, they're just, like, over there for a second. But the shaming of women who are paid to be sexual and to use their sexuality is horrifying to me. The very end of the movie, she has a line, or Armand Asante says, "Are you going to run for Congress? There's a seat open." And she jokes and says, like, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that next." And I wanted to say, yeah, you should. And also, what's so disturbing is you feel at the end of this movie, she is launching off to completely reject this past and the reality of the working conditions of the stripper she was just with the entire film. There is nothing political about her character. She never cares about the other women who are there. And she should, because they care about her and take care of her daughter. And that's troubling in a world I don't recognize. Sorry, guys, I'll wrap it up. I mean, not anytime soon, but I will wrap it up. But I do believe this movie is incredibly dangerous to watch and to see a woman who, you know, the distinction they're making between stripper and sex worker, I understand in, like, our cultural lexicon, but I really think it's upsetting, and we should reject it.
Well said.
And we should reject it because sex workers and exotic dancers are some of the most vulnerable women among us. And this movie sort of purports itself to be feminist, and it is not, in my mind. Because there's no recognition of that. And there's just shame and, you know, the assumption that she should completely forget about her time there and the horrible harassment and degradation she was subject to. And to me, they go to such lengths to make her character sympathize with every man. I mean, she sympathizes with that guy, Jerry, who's a fucking serial killer. And she literally says, he's harmless. Why would you ever think that? He is not harmless. He's a serial killer. But the lengths they go to make her sympathetic to us because of what she's doing is so, it's just unbelievable. The end. I mean, I have a lot more to say, but the end.
Well, I'm glad that you said that. I think that that's a really, because I think looking at these movies with context is always important. And then it frees us up to also talk about Burt Reynolds and Armand Asante as well.
I would love to talk about oiled up Burt Reynolds as dangerous and irresponsible.
I will
on
say,
my eyeballs.
I will say that this performance by Burt Reynolds is the closest we'll ever get to seeing a real life personification of
Burt
the
Reynolds.
The KFC mascot, Colonel Sanders.
Colonel Sanders.
This is a little less than the ones that we're seeing in the football commercials. Like, this is just taken down just a notch. I mean, this character is bananas.
Oh, yeah.
Burt Reynolds fought to be in this movie. He took scale to be in this movie because he liked this character so much.
Oh, I feel like this is why that happened. They gave him the script, and he went to what page am I first on? Six? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. My first line is poontang. I'm in. Get me this part. My first line is poontang. Is the character's name Burt Reynolds? It's not? Wow, they got me, though, so get me this part.
By the way, it's shot in his home state of Florida, so it was an easy drive, too. Here are some actors, and I just, for the sake of, maybe just go one by one, I'll just tell you, envision the movie with Michael Caine playing this part. That's who they wanted, which is an odd choice because he is a congressman, and I've never seen Michael Caine not have a British accent.
Oh, yeah.
So that's an odd choice.
I think people think Michael Caine exists in a world which Americans think they can't hear him have a British accent.
The second person that they went to after Michael Caine was Gene Hackman.
I'm into that.
I would be into that. I think that that actually works well. And then after Gene Hackman, it was Donald Sutherland.
Okay.
Which I think is creepier, oddly.
Yeah.
I see him in a wig, yeah, leering.
Too much President Snow.
Yeah. But then, and then...
Yeah, there's malice to that. Burt Reynolds is kind of perfectly, like, of course it's Burt Reynolds, Playgirl Burt Reynolds. We've all seen his dick Burt Reynolds.
I mean, I've never, like, watched a performance and thought, like, oh, that's a buffoon. Yeah. That's true buffoonery.
Yeah.
In some ways, I took my hat to it.
Burt Reynolds is widely regarded as his generation's most perfect interpreter of Tartuffe. His Ubu Roy was widely perceived to be the greatest of his generation.
And by the way, we are saying this is before Burt lost his hair, right? This is his natural hair, right?
What now?
Paul.
Yeah, this is Burt's hair before he lost. I know he's bald now, but this is definitely his real hair. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, in all the scenes.
Yeah.
Where his hair looked exactly the same scene to scene.
I will say this much. Demi Moore was shooting G.I. Jane and had to come back for reshoots and wore a wig for a considerable chunk of reshoot scenes. And her wig looks a zillion times better than what was on his head. His head looked like no one ever did a wig fitting. It was sort of like they toss it to him like a Frisbee. And his head caught it, it was like, and that's how it is for today. He does some work here in this movie, and the scene where he goes to get some money from a group of older Jewish people, and he's dancing with them. But the thing that was so infuriating there was Archer. He's doing this, and then he goes Manischewitz. And they all go, yeah! That's crazy. Their reaction is crazy. It would have just been better if he said Manischewitz. And, like,
and huh? You're telling me he's a congressman for like 20 years in Florida, and Manischewitz is all he's picked up? Like, an enormous amount of his constituents must be old Jewish people in Florida, and he's getting by with just doing a horror and screaming Manischewitz?
I don't know. What is his district? I mean, what is the makeup? I guess
I would love to know.
He's
in Dade County, the 34th district. No, that would be amazing if they really drilled into the politics of it.
All right, so look at the congressional map. Now, here's the deal. Now, there's been some gerrymandering in this area.
We're going to pop this out.
That is all in the director's copy. Very detailed. Paul Guilfoyle going into it. He's the...
I would love, I would love to see the striptease universe built out. I would like to see a West Wing style show with his young guy that's with him all the time who's like, what, now I gotta go to a laundromat and steal fucking lint? So you can huff lint from the dryer, you oiled up monster? I like the portrayal of our politicians. I think it is valid. These are grossos.
Okay, right? Let me ask. So that was, I actually didn't rewatch that part, but I thought about rewinding it. That what they took from that
lint.
Those weren't underwear. That
no,
wasn't like red
it
underwear?
Was the lint from the dryer.
What a terrible fucking lint.
He was like huffing like it was a scene from Blue Velvet. It was insane. At that point, when that kid saw that, he should have killed him. He should have killed Burt Reynolds and been like, I'm doing this for the greater good.
I guess I'm just trying to understand, like...
This is the movie we saw for you, Chicago! You made us do this.
I'm just playing
this
slow motion.
You don't think we're all going to think about this when we fuck now? This is the world we live in. We live in a post-lubed up Burt Reynolds jack-off fest. You did this to us. This is a fetish now. When you're fucking later, all of you, Chicago, when you're about to come, please just, when you're coming, say to your partner, Burt Reynolds.
Can I
do it and then tweet about it, you gross monsters?
Can I just say, I want to get into the lint thing, but I also want to tell you, as we're talking about that scene.
Or and fuck my lint.
As we're watching that scene.
I want it to
scene,
be fuck my lint instead.
What I like about this scene is that not only is he in boxer shorts, a leather cowboy vest, the cowboy hat, but he's still wearing his watch.
And his wedding ring.
But
by the way, this, just so I'm clear, this is all just for him.
Yes.
Yeah, this is just...
He's alone.
So he got dressed up.
He's
and
supposed
he
to be was... downstairs. He's supposed to be at an event.
Okay. Hold on. He got in that vest and he oiled himself up.
Yes.
Just for himself.
And by the way,
just for himself and the lint.
Can we just say, though, it's not that he oiled himself up. He put Vaseline, like I feel like oil connotes something a little bit more.
Oh, it's so tacky. It's gonna
Vaseline to get that level of oil, like to get that level of lubrication that he's done with Vaseline. He must really rub it in.
He is full on greased up. Like, this is nuts.
And by the way, just to put a little bit of a touch on it, they are spying on Aaron. That's Demi Moore's character, and he goes, I need you to get me something personal from her, very personal, Southern Fried personal. And so I'm thinking, oh, he'll break into her house and steal her underwear. That's
what you're
normal,
thinking?
Well, I mean,
hey, man.
Right, I mean,
why don't you let them just do what they're doing? You don't have to, like, imagine ahead where the grosso's going. So, obviously, I'm thinking, break in, but break into like a basement window. Something that won't be noticed if she returns home. Get in there and look in the hamper, not the drawer, because he's going to want something used. That's just what I'm thinking.
He's got to go there the night before. Break the window, but don't do anything. So then she's okay with the broken window. So the night when she's, then the next day.
Yeah.
I guess the thought process to me
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, obviously, go to her house, scoop a turd out of her toilet, put it in a brown paper bag.
Or a Ziploc. It's easier to transport. And... I mean, look, the movie...
You know what I'm saying.
It's
crawl up on
that.
The roof.
The movie's basically saying that's exactly what happened.
Get into a crawl space, find her attic, get her old prom dress... Put it on.
I guess...
Obviously, that's where the movie's going.
But I guess what I'm saying is, and yes, have I done a little B&E to steal personal items? Sure. But what I'm saying is, like, it's such a far logic leap to go, okay, he wants something personal. She works at a strip club. She is there. Let me get lint. Like, I don't get where the lint comes in. Like, I would never go, like... Oh, lint would do. Lint would be the thing.
I know. Like, it did make me think, like, what does that lint smell like?
That's just what I was going to say. If I was wanting something to evoke that person, I would want something that smelled like them, not something that smelled like clean, like laundry detergent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But maybe that's just what he was after.
Yeah. Well, he says he made love to it. So after he's huffing it here, he must have like fashioned it
into
some sort of lint pussy in order to fuck it, right?
I mean, that is a lot of lint. Now, if it was me, what I would have done is I would have seen her in the laundromat, and then I would have walked in, but I would have bumped her hard enough that she dropped the laundry basket. Then a bunch of stuff fell on the floor. Then what I would have done is with one hand,
I would be like. This sounds like you've done this.
And then I would do one of these things where I would take the underwear, boom, and I'd drop it in my... I'd be wearing a larger coat.
Didn't you guys...
What?
Didn't you guys meet at a laundromat?
Oh, but that was different. What had happened was I had dropped a coin, And I had made June go to pick up the coin, and then we fell in love.
Okay.
The crazy thing about that, Lynn, last thing I want any of us to say about it is it was such a big piece of lint.
Yeah.
Which is why and I genuinely
red.
Thought it was.
And it was red.
I will say red. That the place that they go in said jumbo size dryers. It did, like, that was literally. But and I was like, is that like they're trying to be
if
like.
If the lint is red, that must mean that all of the contents of the dryer were red fabric, and that wasn't the case.
I feel like the color of lint is usually gray.
Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, why was that lint red?
Again.
I mean, I had several questions of, like, where did all of her costumes come from?
I know,
I do.
There is an explanation.
Oh, no.
The dryer was having its period.
Oh!
Black it out! Black it out! That's the show! Goodbye!
Can I just talk about...
I like that, Paul, you went, oh, no.
Also, the guy who took the lint, he's calling him... Herb, but I didn't know if his name was Herb, and that was Southern, or his name was actually Herb, because in subtitles, it was Herb. E-R-B. And I kept on looking, I was like,
really?
Herb. And but by the way, there's a couple, I've been now noticing a lot of subtitle things. So in the movie, one of the dancers says, Bill Bradley's out there, but in the subtitles, it's Michael Jordan.
Maybe the opposite.
Yeah.
In my version, she says Michael Jordan's at table 8. And the place was like empty, and I was like, Michael Jordan's not there.
Oh, then it was changed to Bill Bradley, which is even a weirder thing.
Who's Bill Bradley?
A former basketball player and then governor of New York, which is an odd choice because it's like, not Michael Jordan, Bill Bradley. Like, weird. Can I just hear Burt Reynolds talk about why he greased himself up? Here you go.
I just can't imagine. The very essence of that glorious creature.
I gotta say, even for you, Davey, this is off the charts. Why are you all shiny?
Is your dongle?
Vaseline.
Oh, it's Vaseline. It's Vaseline.
Guys, we can still
hear
it.
You never covered yourself with Vaseline.
No, not unless I have third degree burns, no.
You don't know what you're missing. I've got it all over. It's down in my boots.
Yeah.
I can feel it squishing.
The squishing sound I didn't like.
David, the young Christians are waiting. So.
The young.
By the way,
Christians.
I've just done you all a service.
I remember the sound of the squishing really grossing me out, as if it was like wet mouth sounds. I didn't like
it. So you were cool all the way up until just the squishing.
Yeah. The rest of the scene, I'll be honest, was downright erotic. His boots are going to be so gross forever.
Yeah, you can't wear those again. You can't dry out Vaseline.
There is nothing about this that makes any sense unless he's about to be like in a oil wrestling ring or something. This is, even to jerk off using oil, you wouldn't oil your whole body for it.
I mean, listen, people are into different things.
True.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know what? I want to support him.
In the privacy of his own home. And
I would like to say that they told him in the script, like, I oiled myself up. And Bert's like, I'll just say Vaseline. Because, like, that's how he understood what oil is. Like, he's like, yeah, Vaseline. You know, when you put it all over your body. I'm into that.
That kid, though, who's his assistant, like,
he endures Herb.
Wow, that's so weird. He endures a lot of straight-up nonsense. Including, like, very obvious corruption.
I would say that scene was disturbing, but...
Or disturbing. Nailed it. Guys, no. Stop. Don't reward wordplay. Come on.
But
what are we doing here?
But it was not as disturbing as what Demi Moore found when she went to go visit the old house that her husband was living with the kids, and she finds the heads ripped off the dolls that she gave her daughter. And I'm like, who did that? The daughter? The father?
And
the father, because she says later on their 2-hour play date,
yeah,
I mean, there are moments in this movie that are devastating. I mean, did I cry during the rumor to me scenes? Of course I did.
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
Well, because they seemed very much mother and daughter, obviously. Yeah.
Very much so. And it was devastating.
Did it just get brighter? Again. What the fuck is going on? Am I passing out? Am I okay?
You are ascending to heaven after that period joke. That period joke has made you, you've gone on. You've done your job.
Did I die after the period joke?
Yeah, this is like.
And this is a Jacob's Ladder scenario?
You're going up. You're going up.
By the way, worth it. Worth it.
You did everything here that you needed to do on this plane.
Let me shuffle off this mortal coil.
During their beach play date, the daughter, rumor says that she can't find the dolls.
Right.
That Demi gave her.
But they're clearly out in the living room.
But yeah,
in
but
the
just
old,
heads.
In the house she doesn't live in anymore.
Right.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
that,
you're right.
That's right, right?
But there's, it seemed like it was like he ripped up, like, did he just rip off the heads of the dolls and throw them in the living room and they're
wait,
out?
The bodies were there too. They were just all separated.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
So do you think, I guess the big question is that the work of rumor or?
Well, here's my thing. My thing is, yeah. I think this movie was setting up an Annabelle-type movie scenario where those dolls will chase them all down and kill them all. There was also like a 3-foot Raggedy Ann doll.
Didn't like that.
That I was very uncomfortable with. I don't like dolls that are bigger than the kids that play with them.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm going to say that. I'm going to go on record with that.
Not good,
I don't trust it.
But Chucky you're kind of okay with.
Chucky's like a bro. And I only say this because, like, I'm very friendly with the actor that is Chucky. The doll.
I just remembered something very sad from my childhood. I was an only child, and there was the Chucky doll is, like, kind of based on this doll called, like,
My Buddy. My buddy and me, we can climb up a tree. My buddy.
And when he's like, wherever he goes, he goes. Yeah. But my mom got that for me, and she said, because you don't have any brothers or sisters. You can have a My Buddy. Like, my mom bought that commercial hook, line, and sinker, like, oh, this is great for him. He needs a My Buddy.
Paul, I'm like going to cry right now.
That is incredibly sad.
And I remember it being presented to me like, you know, when you're home from school, you guys gonna have fun.
Oh, stop!
Wait.
Stop!
Let me ask you a very real question. Did you ever come home from school and your mom had set up My Buddy as if he was waiting for you to do a thing? He's like, she was like, My Buddy assembled half a Lego TIE fighter in the other room. He's waiting for you to finish the rest.
My buddy
was just there, like, with half a Lego TIE fighter assembled.
She did not do that, but I do remember when I did get a Cabbage Patch Kid, my mom.
What?
I got.
Well, how did My Buddy feel about the Cabbage Patch Kid?
It predated the My Buddy. So the Cabbage Patch is the one that problems. But my mom read the birth certificate to me and like the adoption notice and like made it feel really real to me, like I had to take care of this thing. So I felt very pressurized. Like I think I took.
Can I ask you a question?
I think I took a day before I signed the adoption certificate.
What? Can I ask you a real question? Based on the timeline of this, is there any possibility that you are currently putting a Cabbage Patch Kid through college? Hard cut to UMass, and they're like, Lemons Sheer? And it's just cut to a doll.
I will say he is on the dean's list. And doing really, really well. Sorry for that detour.
Boy. That is harrowing.
It's like, I don't know. A lot's come up from this movie. A lot.
Hey, friends, listen up. Esports' most exciting game, Rocket League, is a sports action hit that combines driving and soccer for all the physics-based gameplay that you can handle. Check it out. More than 46 million players have already competed online in Rocket League, and you should be next. Customize your car with hundreds of trillions of possible combinations and play with fans of all ages with groundbreaking cross-play platform on most video game systems. If you prefer to play with your friends or family nearby, you can do that too with Rocket League's super fun four-player split-screen feature. You can even play by yourself with an engaging season mode that offers multiple difficulties and team sizes. Rocket League has been nominated for more than 150 awards, and it starts at just $20, so it's a no-brainer to pick it up. Learn more at RocketLeague.com and download Rocket League today on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam PC. It's rated E for everyone. Support for today's show comes from Ben and Jerry's. Ben and Jerry's, as you know, makes the world's best motherfucking ice cream. And why is it so good? Because they have quirky and unique flavor combinations that actually taste delicious. All right, they got chunks, they got swirls. You're not getting like a chip or a piece of dough. You're going to get a lot of chocolate chip cookie dough or whatever you're going to eat. But here's the coolest thing. They've come out with this brand new thing called Mooforia, right? Mooforia is basically all the deliciousness of Ben & Jerry's ice cream with a reduced calorie count. That's right. Every serving is 140 to 160 calories. That is so good and less fat than regular ice cream. It is the lightest way to enjoy all the euphoria of Ben & Jerry's, and it tastes so much better than all those, you know, those healthy ice creams. Ugh, bleh, bleh. All right, and all those better-for-you frozen desserts. No thank you. You put a banana in the freezer, it's still a fucking banana. All right, anyway, Mooforia comes in three amazing flavors, including chocolate milk and cookies, which is made up of chocolate and vanilla swirls with chocolate chip cookies, caramel cookie fix, which features vanilla and salted caramel swirls and shortbread cookies, and PB dough, which is full of gobs of chocolate chip peanut butter. It sounds delicious. Let me eat some Mooforia right now. So give them a try. Go to storebenandjerry.com. That's store.benandjerry.com to have a Mooforia light ice cream delivered right to your home.
Speaking of like odd kid behavior, mine was the other kid, Armand Asante's son, who were introduced to him by him running into the scene and going, "Dad, we got a floater."
How does he know that?
What?
That seems
he knows
to be
police terms.
That seems to be something he said before.
Yes. Like wherever they go, they get floaters.
I also to stick on kid stuff. I want to know. They're playing two different board games in the strip club.
Which are both generic board games.
Yes, they're both nonsense games. One is just a bunch of boxes with question marks around it. And they're like, one, two, three, four. What strip club has multiple board games? If they do, a crime is being committed. It's just as much as strip clubs having peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in Blues Brothers 2000. These should be warning signs. Oh, of course your child can come. We have a bunch of board games. And a loose monkey and snake.
Right before they installed the falafel ring.
Oh, right. No, they already did the falafel ring. He wants to do creamed corn this time.
Ugh.
Which is gonna curdle.
Disgusting.
You know, it's gonna smell. It's gonna really smell. I don't want that.
Oh, no, he's rolling cream corn at us.
I don't want that.
Oh, I wish.
And it didn't reach Jason, thank God. Kick it back.
Am I close?
Now, further.
I guess.
But it's coming back.
Oh, God.
I guess
I feel unsafe.
I feel like it's now only time.
He was like, we gotta get in the front row so I can roll this creamed corn on stage. If I can only roll this creamed corn on stage, my life will be made.
I think we've come to the time in the show where we will talk
where
to
we
the audience.
Where we take the creamed corn into the audience?
They're my buddies. If you have a my buddy, we'll definitely talk to them as well.
Here we guys, go. While Paul's going out there, don't you fucking
don't
look at
look
us.
Don't look at us.
Don't look at us. You don't look at us until he comes out there and you look at him.
All right, so we're in the audience with a bunch of people who probably have a lot of questions about striptease. And what we're going to ask you today is let's come up with your a name that you would like to be called if you were a dancer. I'll say dancer using the term and your real name and your question. All right, you want to go first here? Oh, you have an alternative title. Okay, you can give it to us. You can break the rules. Stand up. Here we go. Okay, your name?
My name's Betsy.
Your alternative title?
I would go with Eager Beaver. I mean, it's already in there and feels a little obvious.
I like it.
My question is, what genre do you think this movie would fall into? The trailer seems to suggest it's a comedy, but there are some very dark moments. Demi multiple times tells people that she's worried she's going to be murdered.
Hold a knife to her throat.
Yeah, and then we have Burt Reynolds, who is covered in Vaseline. So I just was wondering if you could help us kind of parcel this
out. I think I can identify the genre pretty succinctly. Florida. I think this is a Florida movie.
So,
which is gross, sometimes funny, but capable of murder.
So, kind of like Monster and Striptease together.
Yes! I would believe those existed in the same world.
Monster, Striptease, Florida Project, that is a trilogy.
Yes.
Okay. Sir, your name, your dancer name, and your question. Okay, I'll hold the mic.
Get your hands off
that
mic.
Paul,
walk away. Paul, walk away.
My name is Scott. Dancer name would be Fruitcake Love.
Okay, great.
And my question is, what is with the music in this movie? Like, tonally, it's just all over the place.
This is a good question because I do agree that this is, you know, Jason and I have mentioned this off stage, so you wouldn't hear it. But it's based on our...
Unless you were eavesdropping on us.
Were you?
And by the way, don't eavesdrop on us.
Do it.
It's based on a Carl Hiaasen book, and he's a very interesting writer, kind of like the, you called it like the...
Well, he's like a crime writer from Florida. He's like doing, I feel like...
Out of Sight is his...
Out of Sight is...
Elmore Leonard.
Elmore Leonard,
thank
you, thank you. But I feel like he's in that world of kind of guys, right?
Yeah.
Crime guy, but for trashy Florida stories?
Right. And his books
have... Which should say Florida stories?
And his books have
like... I'm just taking shots at Florida.
But his books are have humor and they have thriller aspects in it. And I think that the tone of this movie is so off. Every character is slightly in a different movie. But I would forgive it if it all didn't come together perfectly in the end. I mean, there it was. It really paid off on every level. okay, yes. Your name, your dancer name, and your question.
My name is Cassie, so it's a pretty lateral move to Assie. So I actually have a question about the names in the movie of the dancers. You have Miss Gaza Strip, you have Urbana Sprawl.
Yeah.
Demi Moore is a number of times mentioned to be smarter than everybody else. Armand DeSante is like, oh my God, do you read mystery novels? And everyone says how smart she is. Why does she use her fucking real name?
And coming to the stage, Erin Grant.
Like, and everyone knows about her
it is so
battle.
Weird. It's dangerous to use her full name.
Right.
Yeah, that I noticed
that. For the
that,
Jerrys of the world.
Well, by the way, they say one thing. Armand DeSante goes, he has pictures of you all over his house. How?
He was what?
He has pictures of you all over his house.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well, how? There's no photography allowed inside. She's not posing for anything.
I bet they're all her getting into her car and out.
Probably. Scary. Your name? Your dancer name, your question.
Also, guys, don't eat the mic. You balcony dwellers, I know, you'll go crazy.
It is not a brat.
So my name is Steve. Going off of the Chicago theme of meat, my name would be Pork Chop.
Nice.
Love it.
And I want to circle back to the board game because when they do the first shot, it's a generic kind of board game kind of thing. And then the way they cut back, it's Candyland.
Yeah.
And then the second time, it shoots in ladders.
But it's generic in the close-up. The insert
right.
is a fake game, but the wide shots are a real game.
Because
I agree,
I'm
yes.
sure they got Milton Bradley was like, no.
Yeah. By the way, good eyes, Pork Chop, good eyes.
Okay. All right, ma'am, your name, your dancer name, and your question.
My real name is Laura. My dancer name would be Jane Fondle. And my Jane question
Fondle.
Was,
nice.
Why does she call the news crew to come to the sugar factory? Like, what was her plan?
By the way, this is something I really wanted to talk about. The news crew coming because...
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night, but that you so the big scene goes down, and this newscaster pops out of the truck, runs, and she's like, "Senator, you called the news conference?" Like as if it's like you would, no one ever approaches a news conference. Like no one's bounding out of a van, going, "Where's the news conference? Where is it? Go, go, go!"
And also, like,
she had SWAT precision for her news conference.
Also, they've driven the news van right up to the section of the sugar factory where they happen to have just had this whole kind of scene happen, but it's not where they would normally drive. They would have driven into the parking lot, parked, and been like, okay, where's the news conference? They wouldn't have driven into the factory, into the sugar processing plant, into the like work area, and been like, we'll just keep driving until we see people? In the middle of the night at the sugar factory is where the congressman's having a news conference? Don't you think they would be like, they are, anybody who showed up for that is terrible at their job.
Well, the other crazy thing is that sugar happened to fall on those guys. Just
perfectly.
Happened to.
And they couldn't get away.
But June,
right up to their neck.
But June.
What?
You gotta say though, it happens so organically.
Where are
Robert
you, Paul?
Patrick?
Where are you, Paul?
Up
where
here.
Are you?
I'm one of them.
Oh.
I'm one of the balcony
okay.
people now.
Jesus Christ!
I didn't recognize you.
You've become a balcony person.
I am part of the balcony.
You've been up there for a while. You should come down soon.
No, it's cool up here. These people are my friends,
Paul. That's what they want you to think, Paul, but they're not your friends. They're balcony monsters.
By the way,
that's a t-shirt, balcony monsters.
Yeah. That should be for our live shows.
Who's going to buy them? You fucks couldn't even get tickets early enough to sit down here. You think you're going to order t-shirts? You idiots. No way.
But so at the end, for that ending to work, it's so convoluted. All right, so Robert Patrick is dazed. He's so dazed that he has to be functional enough to understand that he needs a cup of coffee, but then just assume that that is a coffee machine in the middle of a sugar plant, and he's going to get some coffee, but he wants to make sure that he hits the right button that doesn't give him sugar. Like, there's so many steps to get that thing at the end. And it still all happens.
And also, by the way, though, how dare the filmmakers give that guy the final, like, heroic move of this movie? That's insane.
All right, sir.
No,
you're...
The best is, though, he goes, I said no sugar. Gump.
He goes, I said no sugar. And then Armand Asante is like, I got even a better joke. He goes, oh, you guys got a bad case of dandruff. Like, all
right,
everyone,
right.
They're just hitting jokes. They're just that's the fun of these movies. Jokes and jokes for days.
So, yeah, I take it back. It's a straight comedy.
Sir, your name, your dancer name, your question.
So my name is Rory. My dancer name would be Dalton Roadhouse.
From Roadhouse.
From Roadhouse. And so my question is, at the end, in the sugar factory, where this entire elaborate plan is going on, she's got a tape-to-tape deck that she records all
music
of this conversation
box?
On.
It's called
my
the music
is,
box, okay?
Where is the microphone on the tape deck that
also,
is recording
they keep
this
showing
conversation?
You, they do show you the area that is the microphone. The problem is she's actively playing music out of the boombox, but when they play the tape back that's his confession, there's no music present on the tape. So it recorded him talking, but not the music that was blaring while he was talking.
You don't think that music box, as it's
referred to... I think it's
to,
more of a boom box. I picture a music box.
No, she calls it a music box when she's trying to take it out of the back of the car. But you don't think it had the capabilities of, like, editing out vocals and all that stuff.
I don't think so. I think if it was recording, you couldn't have. I mean, it's just a matter of convenience. I'm certain it recorded the thing, but. Right? I mean, I'm exhausted with this movie.
It is now time for second opinions.
And you'll never know the flip side to the consensus that says the film you're watching is pure tripe. You need to scan through all the reviews on Amazon. You need to search the stars for positivity. You can loathe the film, but still, all you'll know is hate until you have read through all the second opinions.
Amazing. Give it up for John. Thank you, John. That was great. If you want to hear a few other versions of it, stay tuned after the episode where we would play the ones that we just didn't play, about five more.
And all I right. will say, the one Jeff Tweedy did was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it was good. And it was so again, cool that Taylor Swift
thanks
came
again
too.
To JT for coming by.
Obviously, you can imagine the second opinions from Amazon for this movie are disturbing. As Nick Kiley wrote me, barf, double barf. On these reviews. So I've tried to get them a little bit down to size here. This is from John Wise. I have loved this movie since I was 4 years old. And I would love to marry Demi Moore. 5 stars.
Oh.
4 years old. Now, you Chicagoans have a special relationship with this movie because it was played in one of your public schools in 1997 by a teacher, and the school caught him and was like, what are you doing? And he's like, the kids wanted to see it.
Was this in Florida?
No, here in Chicago.
Is that why we're doing this movie? Because it's taught in your schools? If so, I'm more on board for Chicago.
This is just something that was unintentional in this Amazon review, but funny. By Robert, and it goes, Demi Moore looks good, but Reynolds is hilarious. And I just thought, obviously he meant Burt, but Reynolds was a happy accident. 5 stars. This is a great one here. It says, someone borrowed my VHS tape, but neglected to return it. I am very happy it is available on DVD, as those require less space when they're stored in between viewings. 5 stars.
I would love it if, like, 2 reviews later, it was like, hey, Randy, I'm so sorry I borrowed your VHS. If there was, like, a fight between 2 people.
This is one movie that, like, a lot of the times they try to sum up the plot, and they're very long because they go through, it's almost like an oral history of the film. But Ronnie Clay does it in 3 lines. And you tell me if you think that Ronnie Clay is right on the money here. Demi Moore is a stripper who is doing her best to win child custody over her ex-husband. He wins custody, so she's went to the house and snuck her daughter out of his house. A congressman has the hots for Demi, but she doesn't dig him at all. But he pays her a lot of money to dance for him on his yacht. Y-O-T. 5 stars.
Is that one of the students from the Chicago school that watched this? Because that's what you teach your kids.
And I will end on this one. This is a great movie. I love Sandra Bullock movies. 5 stars.
Wow, what? Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Because I didn't even realize it was Sandra Bullock.
It's that wig, you know, she was shooting G.I. Jane yeah. and then she came back.
This movie came out in 1996. The budget, would you like to guess the budget for this movie? Demi Moore was paid at this point the highest amount for an actress, I believe at the time it was like $12.5 million. What do you think the budget for this movie was?
30.
June?
Yeah, 30 seems about right.
$50 million. It's all that sugar.
And all the animals.
But it did, worldwide, this movie made $113 million.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Domestically, it only made $33.
But it was a huge hit overseas. Successful.
Overseas, yes. Yeah. Very successful. It came in 47th of all the movies made in 1996. The top three movies in 96 were Independence Day, Twister, Mission Impossible. It was beaten by Jingle All the Way and Dragonheart, but it beat...
It was beaten by those.
Yes. And then it beat, of the movies that we've done, The Island of Dr. Moreau, Escape from L.A., The Quest, Glimmer Man, Kazam, The Phantom, and Barbed Wire. Wow, what a year for films.
This might be the year film died.
Can I just...
Because you're telling me the successful movies were Independence Day and what else?
Twister and Mission Impossible.
I mean, like, this... That is the year... That entire year of film is equivalent to Florida.
Yeah. I want to read you the taglines for this movie because it's so... They're weird.
Oh, really? I'm going to be shocked at that.
One tagline was this. A stripper raises money needed to get back the one thing she can't live without. ... Her daughter.
That's
not true.
Yeah.
That's the tagline?
That's the tagline.
She's not doing like a Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah.
I don't think there was Kickstarter at the time.
It was GoFundMe back then. Some people get into trouble no matter what they wear.
Excuse me?
Then this one. It ain't Showgirls. Then again, it ain't Snow White either.
Excuse me?
And then finally this. A comedy in the last place you'd expect to find one.
Florida. One last zing at Florida. Don't worry, they're not listening.
I imagine I know what everyone's going to say, but do you recommend this movie, Jason?
No, I don't. It's not even fun enough to be like this. As June said very eloquently, it is deeply troubling on many levels, and there's nothing about it that is. Like, it's not a successful crime caper. It's not a success. It's like, on every level, it is both unsuccessful and not very fun. Yeah. So while we certainly had plenty of things to talk about, I don't know. It's not for me like something I would be like, yeah, like the way that I've enjoyed watching so many trashy movies,
yeah,
or so many whatever movie, terrible or whatever on this. This is not for me.
And June, you do want people to watch this, right?
Hey, listen, it reminded me that it's important to destigmatize the work of stripping and exotic dancing so that these workers may work because it is work in safe conditions where they feel free to report violence and harassment without retribution. So for that, I guess I was thankful for it. But yeah, I think, you know, obviously we should just decriminalize sex work. And that's the end of that. And I do understand the distinction between, before I get a gazillion tweets about it, I do understand the distinction between sex work and, of course, stripping and dancing. But again, they're forcing us to draw those comparisons in this motion picture.
Excellent. And I don't have anything to add necessarily to what either of you said, because I agree with both of you. I just want to point out one final thought.
Is this a Fred Armisen character? This looks like it could be a Fred Armisen character.
I just wanted to bring out one thing that I thought was interesting. There's a driver in the film that drives Demi to the yacht, Y-O-T, and he's reading an L. Ron Hubbard book in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
But more importantly, Burt Reynolds hits him in the head with a brick. Or rock. And at the end of the movie, when they're all kind of triumphantly driving away, he's sitting in the front seat with just a bandage around his head, seemingly comatose. And I wondered to myself, why isn't he in an ambulance?
Yeah.
And where are they taking him? Because
he has had a traumatic brain injury.
Yes. He needs attention.
Yeah. That's Burt Reynolds' move, is to hit people in the head with stuff. Because he gives it really good to The Bachelor, too, with the champagne bottle.
Oh, yeah, he's good at hitting people in the head. Well, that's all we got there. Anybody want to plug anything?
What month do you guess it is?
Summer. You know what? Plug for the audience, and we'll go back and plug for the at-home audience. That
You know, I got nothing. Let's not worry about it.
Nothing.
Okay.
Here's what I want to plug. Paul and I were on another fantastic episode of the Chris Gethard Show that is on True TV. In which Chris Gethard, like a coward, abandons his own show in the opening minutes, leaving Paul and I an hour of live television to host ourselves. We didn't know it was going to happen. And needless to say, we fucking crushed it.
Now, unfortunately, you can't see it.
Unfortunately, it's somehow proprietary to True TV's whatever. If somebody could figure out a way to put it someplace where people could watch it, boy, would we love it, and maybe just send it around, and hopefully people will figure out how to watch this episode of TV. Get to it, nerds!
I will say that I have a podcast with Amy Nicholson. It's called Unspooled, which is kind of the reverse of this. Oh, thank you. We watch good movies. So it's great. It's a great relief to
how nice
see something.
For you.
June, are you doing that podcast?
No, I have not been
asked. I'm not either. I'm somehow, like you, relegated to this nightmare of existence. Where we are granted no reprieve with beautiful, lovely movies from the 20th century.
Hate movies.
Yes.
I'm beginning to love them again. Anyway, subscribe to Unspooled. I will also say to you guys here in Chicago, this whole week on Adult Swim at 4 a.m., I have written an infomercial called A Message from the Future, which is airing every night this week at 4 a.m.
Okay, so that does remind me, at the end of June, I'm not sure when this is coming out, but at the end of June, Adult Swim is airing a special that I did with Brian Husky, Jesse Falcon, and Rob Corddry called Mr. Neighbor's House 2, and it is like, what if David Lynch made Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
So funny. It's great.
It's super fucked up, and there's a bunch of weird puppets, so get involved, people.
A big thank you to Avril Halley, who cut all of our amazing clips. Nate Kyler, who did all of our research. And to you, our Chicago audience. You guys were fucking fantastic. Thank you, Chicago.
Thank you for your meat.
Good night.
Wow.
And here we go. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Everywhere on Amazon, they got second opinions. DVD or VHS, they're gonna say this film's the best. The stars are gonna give them 5. It's gonna make them feel alive today.
Yes, give it up for Angela, who just gave me an amazing "This Piss Is Shit" mug. Words spoken by Laurence Olivier in referring to the Jazz Singer remake with Neil Diamond. Thank you, Angela. And now it is time for Second Opinions.
Imagine no bad movies. It's easy if you try. No room or epidemic. No Bobo Ione Sky. Imagine all the people loving every film. You may say I'm a moron, but my words are posted on Amazon. And I hope someday you who watch this and agree with my second opinion.
Amazing. Give it up for Alan. All right. No touching of Jason. Repeat, no touching of Jason. It is now time for Second Opinions.
It's
the best. It's the best. It's better than all the rest. I love the movie Striptease. I've got to get it off my chest. Demi's hot. It's got buns. It's got Burt Reynolds and guns. There's a monkey and a snake, and there's a floater in a lake. MJ's at table eight, and Robert Patrick is great. A porpoise gave some guy his last hard on. Come on, give it a break. Who cares if the boobs are all fake? I'm going to give Striptease 5 stars on Amazon.
Amazing. Give it up for Nick. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Second Opinions at Striptease. Who am I to disagree? I checked Amazon and the seven C's. Everybody looking for something.
Yes!
Yeah.
Give it up for Jennifer!
Great job!
It is now time for Second Opinions.
Second opinions, what can I say? I cannot condone people who think this way. We got Bloodsport and people yell Kumite. We got Glitter starring Mariah Carey. People seem to really love these movies like Jack Frost, Sleepwalkers, and also Goobie. Second opinions from Amazon. If you really like these movies, you're a moron.
Yes! Give it up for Chris. Amazing job. Chicago brought it 100%.
Hey, everybody. Today's episode was brought to you by Ben and Jerry's. You know, Ben and Jerry's is known for creating euphoric ice cream with quirky and unique flavors. It's the best in ice cream, I think. They always are the ones that have all the chunks and the swirls throughout the entire pint. Well, guess what? Right now, Ben & Jerry's is upping their game. They're giving you the great taste of Ben & Jerry's with a reduced calorie count. That's right. At 140 to 160 calories per serving, Mooforia is the new delicious way to enjoy all the euphoria of Ben & Jerry's with a lot less calories. And it tastes so much better than all those healthier ice creams. It's available in 3 amazing flavors, including chocolate milk and cookies, caramel cookie fix, and PB dough. Try them all. Go to store.benandjerry.com to have a Mooforia light ice cream delivered right to your door.
This is Jonathan Van Ness, host of Gay of Thrones and currently bringing all the light the world can handle on Netflix's Queer Eye. But did you know I also have a baby podcast and that you can find her right here on Earwolf? On Getting Curious, I sit down for a gorgeous conversation with a brilliant expert to learn all about something that makes me curious, like who is the Beyonce of Renaissance art and how can we be less rude to bees?
Bees are so cute.
They're just making like plants' sexy time needs be met.
Right.
Which is great of them. We've talked about cults, we've talked about addiction, the Romanovs, the Middle East, alternative medicine, and dating. And I've spoken with stars like Lizzo, Margaret Cho, and my own mom. A few weeks ago, I got to interview one of my heroes, Olympic figure skater Mariah Nagasu.
Oh my God, Jonathan's crying right now.
Yes, I love an archive. So when you're all done binging season 2 of Queer Eye, head over to Earwolf to expand your baby brain with me on Getting Curious. I want to feel so scared as to why you're going back to the second or third podcast I ever made in my entire life, you weirdo. Why are you sharing that? But share it! I didn't mean to yell at you. I love you so much. And P.S., I've also recorded episodes with Anthony, Caramo, and Tan. Don't worry, Bobby's going to be on real soon. Subscribe to Getting Curious with me, Jonathan Van Ness, now on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.